This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron. I am Brady Hull. I've got Michael Kirkpatrick, the 467th on the other side of the bulletproof glass, ready to go, man, because this is it. We are now not NFL yet, but we are in game week. We had 0 week last week, so a few teams played, whatever, but nobody local for us that we cared about. And this week, starting on Thursday, the Wyoming Cowboys are taking on Akron. All right. What do we know about Akron? I don't know. Air Force is playing, you know, Bucknell. Bucknell? Is it Bucknell or Bucknell? I think it's Bucknell,
Michael. I've always heard Bucknell. I thought they were a basketball school.
Well, they are playing football. They will be playing football against the Air Force Falcons this weekend. But we got Wyoming Thursday.
Okay.
We got CU and Georgia Tech.
Okay.
On Friday. The Buffs are dogs in that game, Mike.
I believe that is the game of the week.
Is it? A Friday night game is the game of the week?
Well, I mean, all the other games, aren't they going to be blowouts? I mean, CSU is already down by 56. Washington's just been scoring on them. And the game's not even started yet.
I'm a little worried. I have this really bad feeling. I've been digging in. I got my magazines, my notes, everything I'm looking at, and I just have this bad feeling that this weekend is going to be like, because you know how all offseason we're like, get to football, and then when you get there, your team's not very good, and you're like, this is going to be a long season.
Hockey.
Yeah, get to Nuggets, get to Avalanche, get to the Broncos, and I'm going to get to the Broncos.
Oh, I've gotten to the Broncos already.
Bo was all right. He was only supposed to go 10 to 12 plays, but Sean Payton looked absolutely pissed off, and then it seemed like that third possession, Bo and especially Cortland Sutton kind of got it right. But the run game, Mike, supposed to be new and improved, the run game.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I don't know.
Didn't we just extend someone's contract and sign some new people, and now they're just kind of running into a wall of defenders that are supposed to be pushed out of the way?
Is R.J. Harvey just going to be another Audric Estime? I know that they were drafted in different times and all that, but that was one thing I worried about was last year was supposed to be, oh, well, Peyton found this hidden gem in Audric Estime. And maybe they did the same. Now, R.J. Harvey wasn't really a hidden gem like maybe Estime was. I mean, he had a UCF, very good running football team. So it wasn't like a hidden thing. But I was like, well, you're already giving up on Estime. Now you're recharging with a higher draft pick in R.J. Harvey. That was a concern. But we'll see. Broncos, preseason's done. They went undefeated in the preseason. Take that for what you will.
It means a lot.
No.
To me.
Really?
I mean, it means a lot. When the Broncos go 3-0 at the preseason, postseason, regular season, it means the world to me. I know it like
are you
it
being,
doesn't
I can't
matter.
Tell if you're being
It does.
A
I
real
love
person.
It when they win. I love it when I don't care if it's the third stringers who like pull it out at the end and the starting team gets like nothing on offense. I want them to win.
I was only looking at seeing the starting offense. Can you move the ball? Now, would you have Bo Nix touchdown pass to Cortland Sutton?
That was fun.
That was fun.
Them finally connecting. Because they could not connect all preseason.
No, they were struggling then.
They had like one connection, I think.
And that was like a 20-yard pass or a 20-yard touchdown catch. So that was good. Takeaways from the rest of the weekend. I keep saying it, man. Hawaii might be a decent team. Now, Stanford is Stanford, but Hawaii has, for years now, has not been in a position where they could even beat teams like Stanford. But the quarterback, Micah, is it Aliado had 210 yards passing, also 36 yards rushing. He had two touchdowns as well.
This doesn't sound like Hawaii football. Shouldn't he have like 600 yards passing and like three?
It's going to be
rushing?
That like run and shoot kind of read option stuff that they're going to be doing. So I'm interested to see what that's going to look like. Hawaii was good. Now this is bad though. Fresno State is going to be one of the new Pac-12 members. They go up against Kansas. Kansas projections were really high last year. Kansas's projections this year, not great, kind of middle of the road. So I'm thinking maybe Fresno State keeps it within 10, 14, and it might be. I think the spread was like 12.5 or something. So this might be a decent test to see, because to me, every game now for a Mountain West, soon-to-be Pac-12 school, it's just, it means a little bit more, because you want to set yourself up for success in the future. They get boat raced. Kansas beats Fresno State 31-7. It was a 14-7 game at the end of one. It was close, and then after that, Fresno State couldn't move the ball, couldn't do anything. I mean, EJ Warner had 179 yards passing. The running game was terrible. They ran for 37 yards compared to the Jayhawks, 207 yards rushing, plus Jalen Daniels had 176 yards passing and three touchdowns. Just efficient. He's not lighting it up, but they were able to run the ball so well. That's just a bad look. That's a bad look. I wasn't expecting Fresno State to beat Kansas, but I was not expecting a 31-7 loss, a blowout loss in week one, but it's week one.
Well, the good news for them is they're in the new Pac-12, which is, that is a weak conference.
The new Pac-12?
Yeah, the new Pac-12 is just a weak conference. It's just, I'm so disappointed. Being a Pac-12 fan, my entire football fan life,
it's weak today.
The breakup for me was just really depressing. It's like, you know, getting excited about that new Star Trek.
You did it to yourself.
I did it to myself. I did it before you did it. It was really, really depressing because I loved playing against all those teams, hating all those teams, yet rooting for them when they were playing outside of conference teams. And now it's like, well, I'm going to secretly root for Arizona on accident. I'm going to be like, yeah, go Arizona. Oh, wait, I don't have to root for you anymore because you're not a part of the Pac-12. But back to the Pac-12 being weak, I don't want it, or the Pac, whatever. I don't want it to be weak. I don't want the Mountain West to be weak. Like, I'm more of a West Coast guy than I am any other part of the country, Colorado and West Coast. But it's just like, why do you have to be so weak on this half?
Well, I mean, only it was either going to be weak or go away completely. You know, that was the only other option, and it was Oregon State and Washington State that stayed back, and they poached these Mount West schools, which it is weird. You know, Fresno State or the Washington Huskies, Fresno State or the Oregon Ducks. Like the Pac-12, the old Pac-12 was a lot sexier. Now, again, this is why each of these games means a little bit more. Because you're trying to establish yourself. You're trying to build the Pac-12 up. And if you go into playing a Jayhawks team, who is, again, projected to be a lot better last year, I think they're kind of more middle of the road this year, but still, that would have been a nice victory for Fresno State. But if you could go into town and into Lawrence, Kansas, and you put up a fight, then maybe you're looking at a situation where, okay, all right, this bodes well for the future. Because every butt-kicking you face now affects you, and it affects how recruits look at you. NIL or not, it affects how people are looking at you.
Yeah, this is already that weak conference, and if you start getting your run, it's no good. You need more Boise States. You need CSU You need Washington. Well, you need Washington State and Oregon to be like they were 2 years ago, when inexplicably the last year of the Pac-12, they were like, "Ha ha, we're really good." Shocker.
Yeah, I mean, like for CSU Washington, I don't expect CSU to win, but if they were to pull off some kind of major upset here,
or at least keep it close,
then that would be a great sign for the future for not only CSU, but the entire conference. The entire conference, you guys should all be rooting for each other.
Yeah, I mean, always do that. That is a part of what I call the formula.
Yes.
Root, even though you hate them, root for them.
You have to.
Because them doing well makes you look good, unless you need them to lose, because you want to be above them, and they're a game above you.
I'm trying to look at any other tests. Like Boise State is number 25. You are only you're a 6.5 point favorite against going up against South Florida. You got to win that game. You can't drop out of the top. You drop out if you lose that game.
Is that in Florida or is that Boise?
That is in Tampa, Florida.
Okay, that explains if it was a home game, I'd give them two more points.
Let's see. San Jose State plays Central Michigan. I believe the Spartans are 12.5 point favorites. You can't have a drop there. Just Nevada plays Penn State. You want to know what the spread is there? 44.
Oh, good Lord.
New Mexico plays Michigan. Yeah, these are tests. These are slaughterhouses coming up.
These are money games. These are money games. These are the new money games.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to have in the next few years, you're not going to have a UNC CSU anymore. You are going to have CSU versus UMass, cuz I think UMass is FBS.
Yeah.
But you're going to have those type.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It's going to be a big weekend for college football. It was a fun, entertaining weekend last week, but you know, we got the local stuff. Like I said, starting on Thursday, we'll get to see what this Cowboys team, or at least a preview of what this Cowboys team is going to look like. And then Friday night, I cannot wait. The Colorado Buffaloes going up against Georgia Tech on Friday night. That's going to be must-see television, in my opinion. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll take a short break here. I'll come back. We're going to do the good, the bad, the ugly since I missed it here. We'll hit that on the other side, thanks to our friends at FMS Bank. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310kfka.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back into The Whole Show. Earn number one Mosquito Joe franchise this year. NoCoMosquitoJoe.com is the go-to. Keep the bugs and pests off your patio this late summer, getting into the fall. Can you believe it? It certainly feels like fall the last couple of days. I love it. Amazing weather. The thunderstorms and all that stuff. I'm into it. I'm really into that. But check out NoCoMosquitoJoe.com. I know they do a bunch of other things when the season changes, so we'll be telling you guys about that as well. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So for the Broncos over the weekend, it was, again, for the starters, any reason to be alarmed at all, specifically about the rushing attack. I mean, this is supposed to be a revamped first-team rushing attack with Dobbins and R.J. Harvey. I mean, J.K. Dobbins didn't get a single carry in the preseason, Mike, right? So that's one reason. He's supposed to be kind of the one. R.J. Harvey's kind of the two. I thought R.J.'s had some nice-looking runs, you know, off and on, but he's also had some kind of not really pop in there. But again, how much do you want to take from a preseason where, and again, Sean Payton looks pissed off, so clearly he's not happy. He's not coming up with excuses. But you got some positives and you got some negatives. Why does the run game not look fantastic against far from superior type teams in this preseason? That's a little bit of a concern, because that was supposed to be the big difference maker. Your defense is going to be good. Bo Nix is going to be fine. Man, imagine if you have a rushing attack to go with you, especially as you get deeper into the season, and then you have a solid rushing attack in the playoffs. You're not putting so much on your young quarterback. But that could also be one of those things that just takes a little bit of time to get better as the season goes along. Positives? The Nix-Sutton connection. I mean, it didn't look good at first. You had Courtland Sutton dropping a short ball from Bo on the first play of the game Saturday. Then I'm looking at these now. I mean, the first couple of drives, they just looked off. Nix overthrew Sutton on a wide open third down play. Rough. And so it was bad. I mean, Peyton said he was only going to let them play like a few drive or a few plays, but those missed opportunities had Sean Payton upset enough where he's like, dude, we cannot end on this. I mean, I'm not concerned. I told myself I wasn't going to get too up or too down about this team either way. But there's a little bit of a, okay. But then you had them really get into that connection. Bo Nix and Sutton started to look really good. They started to get into that rhythm, got the touchdown, and then everything else is fine. But Sean looked very upset. The plan was to, I mean, he said it at the beginning of the week. Starters would play 8 to 10 plays, and then there were 13 plays across Denver's first two drives. Peyton said, no, get back out there. Sent Bo Nix and the first team back out for a third drive, and they did finally find some rhythm. I mean, if this were just a regular game, and the first two possessions were rough, and then the third possession was fine, and then the rest of the game kind of evens out, you'd be good with that. So there's a lot of pressure right off the bat when you're not running your usual stuff. It's a very, very limited amount of what you're actually pushing out there. Then yes, you're going to it's not going to be as easy for offenses to go up against defenses. And we say this in the preseason, the defense is the head of the offense. So with all of this being said, I am not concerned about the run game. I am not concerned about Bo Nix. I'm not concerned at the same time. But we'll get to that first game Sunday next. And I think you're going to see things play out the way that they're supposed to. I still believe that this run game is upgraded, but you're just going to have to see it in the regular season. I still believe Bo Nix is not going to have a sophomore slump. I think his numbers dip a little bit, but that's because the run game is there. I think he and Courtland Sutton will figure this out consistently. And you know what? When you're a kid in basketball practice, they always say, in practice on a made shot. So I really kind of like that Sean Payton said, we are not going to end your preseason with two forgettable drives. We're going to go out there one more time, and we're going to try to get this thing right. And the Broncos did. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Your thoughts on the Broncos preseason? I mean, really, the main takeaways? Are there main takeaways? You got a backup quarterback situation you like. I think Pat Bryant's going to be really good. Audric Estime probably not going to make this team. Defensively, they're pretty good. Didn't learn a whole... Honestly, did we learn that much? For all the coverage surrounding Broncos training camp and everybody just like so much coverage, did we really learn that much about this team? Not really. I think they're going to be a good team. Are they a great team? I've got them at... What do I have them at? We got our opponent preview continuing today. We're switching it up a little bit. We'll go into the third segment of the second hour today. But I've got the Broncos at 5-2 before squaring off against the Dallas Cowboys. That would say 5-2 seven games in, would say that you're probably in the great team category. Can they keep that rolling against the Cowboys? I'm confident in this team. And you won every preseason game. And you still had concerns and question marks and all that stuff. So it is what it is. Talking a little Colorado Buffaloes going up against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets this Friday night. Yep, we are less than a week away from seeing the first game of the season for the Colorado Buffs. First game for Coach Prime without Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Mark's going to talk to us about, I think, a pretty decent-looking Georgia Tech team. They have a heck of a quarterback, and if he can stay healthy, that might be a team to watch out for. Let's talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Big, big weekend coming up. And I'm excited. Well, Friday night, that's the game that I'm actually, if I'm doing my game of the week thing again, this is the one I'm most excited about. Colorado Buffaloes taking on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. This could be an excellent football game and an excellent early test at home for this Buffs team. Certainly a lot of changes when it comes to some of the stars that were on this team last season. Joining us now, and as he plans to do every Monday, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, Friday night cannot get here soon enough, my friend.
Well, and you know what? Travis is not here and Shadur's not here, but gosh darn it, I'm here.
Yes,
and
you are.
So I will be back again for my 22nd season, and I promise you, Brady, this year I will not miss a tackle nor drop a pass. I guarantee you that will not happen.
I think you're undefeated when it comes to that. I've never seen you miss a tackle out there, Mark. Not
nope,
once.
Nope. Never. I've dangled a participle on occasion, and I've fumbled a phrase, but I've never missed a tackle as the Buffs announcer. But no, I this is a great game, and I think it's a great game from a measuring stick standpoint to get this season underway. It's a brand new team, obviously, with a very different squad, a different type of offense. No Shedeur, no Travis. You kind of bring those marquee players or take them out of the equation, and it's going to be a different type of offense. And so, yeah, I'm kind of excited to see what it's going to look like on Friday night.
You talked to us so much about this offensive line being new and improved, and, you know, a guy like Jordan Seaton another year in, but bringing in some big-time transfers that should help. That will be huge for this Buffs team. But specifically, how do you think this offense is going to look, Mark? Like, is it going to be leaning on the run game a little bit more? Are they going to try to spread things out on the passing side? How do you see offensively this looking for the Buffs, starting on Friday at least?
Well, I think it's going to be an offense that will be more run-oriented. Now, I don't think they're going to be Air Force, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, five passes a game. But I think it's going to be very balanced. You know, we're still learning what their transfer quarterback from Liberty is all about. And I've kind of expressed times about him that I think he is a running quarterback who can pass versus Shedeur Sanders, who's a passing quarterback who can run. And so I think he's electric with his legs. When it's all said and done, I mean, you know, maybe when the year is over, maybe Caden Salter leads the Buffs as a rusher with, you know, 750 yards or something. They've got a couple of 500-yard rushing running backs. And then, you know, he's a guy that averages, you know, 150 yards passing or something along those lines. And so my guess is it's a much more balanced attack. They've got a very big offensive line. I think I mentioned on your show last week, Fox or somebody put it out that they're the fourth heaviest line by average in college football. Texas State, by the way, is number one, but the Buffs at like 329 pounds per guy. So it's a much different-looking offensive line, a much heavier offensive line, and they're going to lean more on that this season. So if they cannot run the football, number one, it's a bad sign. Number two, I'm going to be shocked. to be honest with you.
Well, we might see, speaking of running quarterbacks, Mark, we might see a lot on the other side, too, with Georgia Tech's quarterback Haynes King, who had a lot, had some injuries last year, but the guy can move pretty good. I think he ran for almost 11 touchdowns last year and threw for about 14. So we could see both quarterbacks moving around a little bit on Friday night.
I think we could. And by the way, you do know this is not the first time the Colorado Buffaloes will play against Haynes King. Do you know that? Here's a little tidbit for you. When Colorado a few years ago played a top 10 team in Texas A&M at Mile High Stadium, the starting quarterback for Texas A&M was Haynes King that day.
How about that?
If you remember, he got knocked out in the first quarter. Very early, he got hit and got knocked out. And I can't remember the kid that came in and had a heck of a game. It was a great college football game. The Buffs, it came down to the wire, and they ended up losing that one at Mile High Stadium. But, yeah, it's the second time we'll see Haynes King against Colorado. And you're right. He is a very mobile quarterback. And so I think probably because of his experience, he's probably a little bit more polished passer at this point, certainly at this level, than maybe what Caden Salter is. But I'll tell you what, the more I saw of Caden throughout camp, the more impressed I was by him. And as I said, he can be electric with his legs. And so I'm kind of interested to see what that's going to look like, how that's going to kind of unfold for Colorado in terms of what this offense looks like. But I think it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious because, again, this is that fun time where we don't know a lot about what those looks are going to look like, who's going to be kind of – who they're going to center this offense around defensively, what those looks are going to look like. We certainly will get a full grasp of that or somewhat a grasp of that on Friday night. But
here's the thing, Brady, I will say that – as much as I think they are going to focus and make an emphasis on running the football, they have got a wonderful group of wide receivers. I've said it on your program before. Prime knows how to find wide receivers and defensive backs, and he has got a bunch of them out there. Sincere Brown and Joseph Williams and go on down the line. So they will be throwing the football. Make no mistake about it. They are going to throw the football, but I think a much more balanced attack is what Pat Shurmur is going to be calling this season because of the way this team is made up.
What do you make of the spread at this point? Buffs are a 4-point dog in this one at home.
You know, they always say what 3 points is what they normally give a team at home.
Yeah.
So that makes Colorado a touchdown dog in this game if you're counting that in there. And am I surprised by that? Do I agree with it? No. Am I surprised by it? No. And here's why I say that. I think everyone's wondering about the same questions you and I are talking about right now. You know, you don't have the dynamic players and personalities of Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. And then, you know, the other three wide receivers who are on NFL rosters, Jimmy Horn and Xavier Weaver and on down the line. You don't have all those guys out there. So I think there are questions about Colorado simply because people don't know right now. And so I think there's probably from Vegas's standpoint, there's probably a little caution in terms of how they're trying to handicap this ball game because they really don't know what CU is going to look like. They've got a better idea of what Georgia Tech is going to look like. Georgia Tech was a solid football team a year ago, and so that probably explains that. I don't think Colorado's a touchdown dog in this game in reality. I think that's just the perception of it right now.
What do you think of defensively for this Buffs team, Mark? I saw a stat today. You correct me if this is wrong, and this makes sense because I think even the best defenses have bad games. Colorado, in their victories, they held opponents to an average of like 18.7 points per game. In the losses, they gave up 33. Well, they didn't have many of those losses, so I kind of look at that as it wasn't the greatest defense in the world, but even really good defenses have off days, and the Buffs, their off days were pretty rough, and that's what led to some of those losses last year.
Well, and you know, the great old line, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics, right?
I mean, so
you can pervert those things any way you want. And listen, as much turnover as there has been on this team, those statistics from last year don't mean a whole heck of a lot this year.
Sure.
And so I like this defense. I'm a Rob Livingston buyer right now. I'm buying stock in Robert Livingston. I think he is a star in the making, the defensive coordinator for the Buffaloes. I think they've got some major upgrades up front. I think they're a much more athletic second level. This group of linebackers with Reggie Hughes and French and those guys that they brought in, I think are very athletic, are very capable. And every guy that I've talked to here the last few weeks, I've asked those guys in the second, third level of defense, tell me what you're seeing up front. And in fact, I just talked with Jeremiah Brown here a few days ago, linebacker. He goes, Mark, those big fellas they brought in, man, they are eating stuff up. I can't tell you, says, seems like every play we're not dealing with you know, any linemen getting the second level. We're running free out there making plays. If that's the case, if that group is what they're claiming it is right now, and they look the part, just like we talk about that offensive line, they look the part on the defensive front. If that defensive front is a better defensive front and those linebackers are running free, That says you're going to have a pretty good defense. Keep in mind, Colorado did lead the Big 12 in sacks a year ago, right? They created that. They manufactured those sacks a year ago. And if they can do that kind of thing and then be a little more stout against the run, I think it could be a very fun year. But I think this team, based upon what they want to do offensively, run the football a bit more, shorten the games a little bit, I think they lean on this defense. I think Robert Livingston in year number two is going to have a lot of fun. They feel pretty good about what they've done on that side of the ball.
Yeah, Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And this is going to be a nice test right off the bat. You know, last week we saw in 0 week there some interesting tests for some of these teams like K-State and whatnot. But this is an opportunity because I think Georgia Tech, if they can stay healthy, might be, I think they were a 7-win team last year. I could see them being a 7-8-win team again if they can stay healthy. So this would be a nice test for the Buffs. How do you see this Big 12 kind of playing out? A lot of the national people don't have the Buffs much higher than 12 or 11.
Yeah, I see. And by the way, you just mentioned Kansas State and Iowa State. Yeah. That's your league game over in Dublin Island. Can I make a public statement right now?
Yes.
That you've seen the stories about Avery Johnson's father beating up his other son in the parking lot. Avery Johnson's father is named Mark Johnson. It was not me that was over there beating up the other brother, okay? I just want to make that clear.
I didn't pay attention to his name. I just saw Dad. That's all I saw.
Brady, I started getting text messages over the weekend like, dude, what are you doing? I mean,
Mark's like, you know what? I don't have a game this week. Time to mess up some kids.
It wasn't me. I'm not the Mark Johnson that was beating up the kid in the parking lot in Dublin, Ireland, okay? So let me make that clear. I think, as in regards to the Pac-12, or the Big 12, rather, I think this league is wide open. And, you know, K-State was considered the favorite in many quarters out there. Iowa State just beat them 24-21 over the weekend. I think this league's going to be wide open. I think there's a bunch of really good teams. I'm not sure there's a great team in the Big 12. I think there's a bunch of really good teams. And I really think, based on all the things we've just talked about, if this, and again, right now it's all if it is what we think it is. Right now I think this team is a top-level defensive team, one of the better defenses in the Big 12, and I think they're going to run the football. If they can do those kind of things, Colorado's going to be right in the middle of this thing. And I don't know who the favorite would be. I mean, if you know, some people said Kansas State. I've seen Utah. I've seen Arizona State be picked up there. You know, don't even though they lost their quarterback, don't count out BYU. I think there's a lot of teams that can make some noise this season, and I think every week is going to be a war in the Big 12 and be very entertaining.
Yeah, last year Oklahoma State was picked to finish anywhere from first to third, and look what happened to them.
And
now they're like, nobody believes in them. This will probably be the year they do something. You just never know. But is great. I'm looking at CBS Sports right now. Mark Johnson was seen in a video outside of the
stadium. What did I tell you? It wasn't me.
I didn't. All I saw was the video, and I just saw the headline, Avery Johnson's father and brother in a fight. I saw the video, watched it, and rolled my eyes, moved on. I should have stuck with it because that would have been my first question, Mark. What in the heck were you up to this weekend?
Man, my phone started blowing up, and at first it was just, you know, buddies of mine driving along going, you know, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm doing some work around the property today. Why? Was that you in the fight? I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I finally figured it out. I'm like, oh, okay, funny guys. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was me. Yeah, during the bye week, I went over to undermine Kansas State, the favorite in the Big 12, and blow up their season by beating up the quarterback's brother. Yeah, that was me.
I love it, Mark. Well, hey, what time do you get rock and rolling on Friday night? First game of the season for this Buffs with tone setter time on Friday night.
Yeah, we're out there just south of the stadium with our first hour of the pregame beginning at 4 p.m. Mountain Time, 6 o'clock with the kickoff of the Colorado Football Network. And I know Gary's all jacked up, and you know, and so I got him all wound up. And hey, by the way, have you seen that article, by the way? He sent me this yesterday. ESPN did a piece and where they went down and talked about the average payment to every position, broke down positions in college football. Well, as soon as we're out there, I'll text it to you so you can take a look at
it. Yeah, shoot me that text.
Yeah. Gary, he sent me that yesterday. So, you know, Gary's already in mid-season prep form. He's already, you know, looking for all sorts of little statistics and this and that. And so he's all jacked up. But, yeah, 6 o'clock we get underway with the kickoff on Friday night.
Just don't fall for any of those fake Twitter accounts and use that as facts. That happened in the Broncos game a couple weeks ago, Mark. So just be careful, okay?
Yeah. Or fall for people named Mark Johnson beating people up. It wasn't me.
I love it. Mark, my friend, appreciate it. This is going to be fun, man. Always love having you on. But it just feels a little different during football season. So looking forward to it.
All right. Sounds good, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. He sounds spry. He sounds ready to go, Mike. He sounds like he is ready for Georgia Tech, Colorado, coming up Friday night. That one's my game of the week. That's my game of the week. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Over CSU and whatever that other dog team is, over UNC Bears, over Wyoming and whatever that is, over Air Force and whatever that is, it would have been between CSU and Washington or CU and Georgia Tech. But I'm going to say it. My game of the week is CU and Georgia Tech. 49 minutes after the hour. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
What's next for the Colorado Rockies?
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Keep it on Northern Colorado's home for Rockies games and discussions.
I feel fine.
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Lorado Whiskey poll question of the day. Who needs a week one win more out of the teams that we follow? The Colorado Buffaloes, the Colorado State Rams, the Northern Colorado Bears, or the Wyoming Cowboys? There's only four options. So if there's only four options, Air Force gets left out. Sorry. They do. I mean, they got Bucknell. They need to win. It depends on your expectations. Right now, Colorado State's winning in the clubhouse, and I don't understand that. They're going up against a... I mean, I guess it's your expectations. I mean, Washington's a 20-point favorite over Colorado State, so you're by voting for them to win and all that, you're expecting them to win? For the Buffs, they're talking playoffs. The Rams aren't necessarily talking playoffs, are they? I mean, maybe they should be. And for the Bears, you need to win more than one game. That would be nice. I think it's, I don't know. It feels almost like it should be UNC. They've only won one game in 2 years with Ed Lamb. I think winning against Shattered State is would be a pretty big deal. Well, just a must win type of deal.
To me, it's between the UNC Bears and the CU Buffs, because right now a lot of people not like. Worried about the CU Buffs, and if they don't perform, then it's hot seat city for Coach Sanders.
Really? I don't think it's hot seat city, but if you lose to Georgia Tech, then the whole playoff argument starts to creep in already. Week one.
With UNC, they've got to start winning.
Yeah,
they have to start winning. And
isn't this a D2 school? Isn't Chadron State a D2 school?
Yeah, I think so.
You got to win. You got to be. I don't know what they are.
I'll look it up.
No, look it up. Adam says, I vote CU because they stated the goal is the college football playoffs, and you have to beat quality teams to be there. Yeah, if you lose to Georgia Tech, that really hurts. It doesn't end your... Luckily, like in the new college football world, one loss doesn't end it, especially to a decent team, but it certainly puts a big dent in your college football playoffs if you lose to Georgia Tech. But yeah, UNC needs to beat a D2 school. They need to get a win. I need them to win four games. I would like for them to win four games. That would be, at least, that would be a big-time improvement. All right, second hour. We got top stories of the day coming up. Shedeur Sanders in the news. Shiloh Sanders in the news. A few other things. Avery Johnson's dad apparently is... It's not that Mark Johnson, but that Mark Johnson. Dad and brother. Brawling it out. Weird story there. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.